There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that.
This is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Right, up and away. Here we go. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along. And if you don't know it by now, if you're new around here, and if you didn't know it, you can just take notes while I'm telling the new people. The phone number and the text line here to be part of the show, 343-0106, 343-0106. That works for text. That works for calls. Also, the FM Talk 106.5 app gives you the option of sending us talkback message. So check that out. If you've not downloaded the app, it's free. You got a second or two, go check it out. If you're an iPhone user, go to the App Store. Android users, go to Google Play. Just look for FM TALK 1065. No point between the 6 and 5. Well, because it messes it up. So FM Talk 106.5. You'll see our logo. That's our app. Download it and enjoy. All right, as we get started today, kind of laying things out, April Marie Fogel joins us about 24 minutes from right now. Also in hour number two, William Strickland with Mobile Baykeeper. That, you know, the discussion that came up last week, it was Senator Elliott was on with Jeff, and left me a little slack-jawed after a couple weeks ago. A few weeks ago, we had Senators Britt and Tuberville say, well, we're going to get it so we don't do the thin layer displacement or thin layer placement in the bay. And then it comes back and it sounds like they're going to do it anyway. So I want to get the latest on this coming up in the second hour of the show. All right. As we get started, there's a lot to talk about. I do want to like compare and contrast stories. It's the thing I like to do, right? Take some different stories and compare and contrast. I know we're going to talk about, I think when April Marie comes on, we could talk about it before, but stepping down, the head of NPR is stepping down here. What is it? It is a story just came up. Where is it? There it is. NPR's top editor, Edith Chapin, resigns days after Congress yanks federal funding. So we'll talk about this story breaking today. But while we're discussing this, I want to throw this into the mix. So if you, because I've another story out there right now that got my attention even more than the NPR story is those brilliant young men. They're my age or older, I think. Trey Parker and Matt Stone, the people behind South Park and a whole bunch more, have just inked a deal, according to a story in the LA Times. So the South Park boys and other things have inked a deal here. Let's see. They've reached a groundbreaking 5-year deal with Paramount for the global streaming rights to South Park. Okay. So Paramount, which is slowly becoming, I guess it's not, I mean, it's a channel that I watch, that, and I don't know what's on Plus and what's on the regular. I think I got both. You know, which one's got the Yellowstone family of stuff and Landman and all that stuff. It kind of used to be Discovery Channel when I was younger. In my 30s or so, 40s, I guess, Discovery Channel, if I was going to watch something, they had the shows I was most interested in, you know, Go Catch a Crab, Go Pan for Gold, whatever the heck it is. Paramount's definitely taken the slack up there. And now adding to their mix of these shows, it's South Park. Now, says sources with knowledge of the situation tell Variety Magazine a deal has indeed been reached. Paramount did not respond to several requests for comments because maybe the deal isn't yet finalized. The new pact comes from a recent tense standoff between Parker and Stone and Paramount. Parker and Stone accused incoming Paramount president Jeff Shell of interfering in their contract negotiations with WBD and Netflix. Meanwhile, according to recent Hollywood Reporter story, the Paramount Global and Parker Stone had already outlined a pact that would be spread over a decade. Okay. So I'm going to talk about the numbers here. Here's where we're going to compare and contrast. And yes, do I think some of the best political commentary that exists out there is through the characters on South Park? Yes, I do. But here's the word right now. Is the deal is $1.5 billion Paramount paying to Trey Parker and Matt Stone to be able to stream South Park. $1.5 billion over the term of the five-year deal. Says it's valued at $300 million per year. $300 million. Which, by the way, that number, and I didn't put this on, you know, I just hear one story, hear another story, try to find some facts here. Annual budget of National Public Radio, which is made up of, you know, their what they get from corporate sponsorships, what they get from the government, we the taxpayers, what they get from you know, the member stations and the drive time when they, you know, you get a tote bag or a coffee mug or whatever, is $300 million. So look where the value in our, and like I said, I've said before, it's a tough one because there are things that were on NPR over the years, some of their different shows, not really the news as much, but there were shows on there that I thought were pretty good radio shows. I was a Prairie Home Companion fan from way back, which we don't need to talk about what happened to Garrison Keillor during the Me Too movement. But so the annual operating budget for the entirety of NPR, this is what they're saying, is $300 million. The annual check, if you believe Variety magazine right now, to Trey Parker and Matt Stone, to have the rights to stream, and that's because Paramount Plus, streaming service, right? To stream is $300 million per year. So the same. So where does our... where do we value, you know, I mean, where does the marketplace value this? It is interesting to see these things come up. Now, so yeah, the head of NPR, Edith Chapin, is resigning after losing funding. The story here from New York Post said NPR's top editor and acting chief content officer is leaving the organization later this year, just days after Congress axed its federal funding. Edith Chapin, told staffers today that she, or yesterday, she is stepping down, no, today, and she gave her notice to NPR Chief Executive Officer Catherine Mayer 2 weeks ago. So there you go, NPR's top editor, acting chief content officer, stepping down because cuts. You know, it could they find, could possibly, and I'm just spitballing here. What if NPR would be running the audio version of South Park? What if PBS, in place of Arthur or whatever show, they just put on South Park? Then you could have some legs for public broadcasting if they would. Maybe Trey Parker and Matt Stone create something specifically for public PBS or NPR. Just an idea. Just throwing that out there as we get started on Midday Mobile for today. We will talk about that subject a little bit later, the NPR stuff with April Marie Fogel. And, you know, I've said this before. I said to Jeff last week, you can go through, and I made the jokes yesterday, you look at APT, right, Alabama Public Television. You focus on a lot of these national shows, right, to bring the issues there. Like Antiques Roadshow, the political bias on Antiques Roadshow is horrible. But the danger for me is that shows like, and I've said it before, like Discovering Alabama, those kind of shows, those nature shows that I really, really like, shouldn't have to suffer because of what comes with these national shows. Can they find another way around this? That's something that's worth noting. Or maybe they just put South Park reruns on the whole time. Hey, we'll get your text on this when we come back at 343-0106. Also, remember I got excited a couple weeks ago when the video came out, when Pete Hegseth came out and said, yeah, we're going to get into the drone, the smaller drone world here with the Pentagon, and they had the big rah-rah video. Interesting piece came out on that from Twitter. We'll get to that when we return.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
To 1220 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. segment of the show brought to you by my buddy Jeff Stone and the crew at Stone Arms. Looked at this. Jeff called into the show, I guess, last week or the week before. So the place where I got went through the process with their kiosk to get my silencer, to get the documentation, the fingerprints, the picture, all that stuff, and get green-lighted for my silencer. That's at Stone Arms. And, of course, great selection of silencers and rifles to put them on, plus gunsmiths to be able to, if you've got your hunting rifle and you want to put that silencer on the hunting rifle so you don't have to have the ear protection when you shoot and all that, they've got those folks there as well. And great, just all the gear that goes with it they have in stock. But one of the big things we've been talking about is all those years I thought about getting a silencer, and it wasn't until I got this online kiosk that's in their store that I got it done. Well, one thing that's going to happen, we saw with the big, beautiful bill, Jeff called in about that. He said, you know, they didn't change the requirement, store requirement to get your tax stamp, get that information put through, but they did remove the $200 fee that is present right now. That goes into effect January 1st. You don't have to pay the $200 fee. But markets and people being people, he pointed out that right now there's a lot of people buying silencers and putting on like layaway, buying it, but they can't take possession till they get green-lighted because they're waiting for January 1st. Or they're, so right now it's pushing supply some. He said they're still okay. But another reason to get it done now is the supply. And then what will happen come January 1st, what for me was a two-week wait time. That was it. You've heard the stories in the past, like, that's going to take you years. And it was, I think, for a while, over a year for people to get a green light for their tax stamp to get their silencer. It was 2 weeks for me. It was very, very quick. Well, all these people, they're now waiting until the $200 fee is off in January, are all going to kind of hit the system at the same time. And then what happens? Well, it gets, you know, it gets slowed down, and you might not get it for months or year, over a year in the future. So just a heads up. I mean, make your decision whether you want to save that $200 come January or not. But think about it. If you're like, I don't want to be waiting for a year once that happens, something to think about. Either way you're going to go, you need to go check out the online kiosk to do it and those great silencers and all the equipment that goes with it at Stone Arms. StoneArmsInc.com is their website. Go see them in person. They are just past Snow on Airport on the south side of the road there. And go see them. Tell them I said hi. All right. Well, before I go to the text line, while we're talking about weapons, if y'all were listening that day, I got excited because I've been lamenting for years that we use a $1.2 to $3.4 million cruise missile to fire back at a group that used a $25,000 drone, right? And just where that goes. And then I said, I wish, and we have the Reaper drones. U.S. We have these way bigger drones. But what about the drones being used in theater in places in the Middle East? But let's look at the Russia's war on Ukraine, right? What Ukraine's used and what Russia's used. I'm like, where are our drones like that? And we have China that's making, I don't know, 80% of the world's drones out there. Where are we in building ours? I mean, if we're going to spend money on the military, let's make sure we have what we need to fight the warfare that is now, not some war from the past. And the video came out, I don't know, 2 weeks ago or something, y'all. I said, oh, this is good. It's kind of goofy, but SecDef Hegseth came out and said, hey, we're going to use these drones. And the drone delivered his notes for the speech he gave and all kind of showbiz stuff to it. So they said, we're going to do this. We're getting in these smaller drones. We're doing this stuff. I'm like, okay, good. We're finally moving the right direction. Story comes out here. This is from what the U.S. Army had put out on Twitter. And it says a U.S. Army video meant to laud the service's work on fielding small armed drones instead highlights just how much it and the rest of the U.S. military continue to lag behind global trends. So here's a quote. Here it is. And this has since been deleted, but the tweet here, the X post from the U.S. Army, their official verified at U.S. Army, said, have you ever seen a drone drop a grenade? Watch soldiers from the 7th ATC and Joint Multinational Training Group, 173rd, execute the Army's first live grenade drop from an unmanned aircraft system in Grafenwöhr, I'm guessing, German word, Grafenwöhr, training area, Germany. So they put this thing out, and it's the video that is still out there, even though they deleted it. You know, the internet never forgets, and I can send you a link to it if you want to. Shows Army personnel loading standard M67 fragmentation hand grenades as well as M69 practice types onto a small quadcopter type drone fitted with multi-purpose mechanisms for dropping the grenades. Systems designed to pull out the safety pin on an unmodified grenade as it's released. So they put this thing up. They've got this regular, kind of looks like a, you know, DJI, kind of regular drone. And they show it, like, kind of go over, like, goes over the spot and drops a grenade. Boom. This is the hottest thing. This is where we are. I mean, do y'all watch what happens with drones and other theaters of war out there? They have since deleted the video, but it's, like I said, the internet never forgets that it's out there. So that's the hype video. Well, Ukraine uses like submarine drones or ones that are right at the surface. They've used those to take out portions, $1 billion worth of naval assets for the Russians, the Black Sea Fleet. The Ukrainians use them to smuggle them into Russia and take out aircraft, bombers. But we're putting a hype video up, and it's like, look, we put a grenade on. I mean, they've been doing this for a long time. I mean, this is the tactic they're showing in this video that they were doing. Ukrainian soldiers were doing that in the first days of the war against Russia. This is what they've since deleted, but it's just something. I mean, it's so entrenched, government-military complex in Washington, so entrenched in building things that make the most profit. I get it, right? You want to make the most profit. But the warfare now is done by things that are less money, not more money. And here they are hyping up some old technology. So I don't know. It's just, I saw that and I said, oh, I got all excited about, hey, we're going a different direction here with U.S. military. And then I see, look, we can drop a grenade from a drone. Okay. Let's see. And thank you, DEI Texter. He's telling me King of the Hill is back on the 4th of August. Yeah, I'd put Mike Judge in my pantheon of great satirist or commentary. Trey Parker, Matt Stone from South Park, Mike Judge. These might be the, we need to book that. If I could book them on the nightly cable news shows to talk about politics, it'd be great. This unnamed texter said, the Dems are crying that prices are still rising. Show some examples. They can't. Gas prices, for one, have come down. Another unnamed, oh, this is T-Mac, not unnamed. T-Mac, thank you. A good test of the market would be to see advertising costs for NPR, if that existed, and compare it to Paramount. Yeah, all I'm just, I just wanted to point out that you had the annual budget for NPR, which, because if you're going to cut NPR because they're using taxpayer money to have biased programming, cool. If you think that's going to save the budget, it's not. But it is interesting that what Paramount, at least what Variety is saying, Paramount will pay Trey Parker and Matt Stone. Can you imagine those two guys with that kind of money? I'd like to be them. $300 million a year for them to be able to stream South Park. And NPR's budget is $300 million a year. Let's see. People send me Instagram links. I got to look. Yeah, send that to my... We won't be able to look at that right now. Hey, thank you, Chris in Orange Beach. It seems like the dolphin, or the mahi-mahi, as they call them, fishing with Strong over the rodeo, because Chris is sending some pictures from his son's trip. Yeah, so, I mean, I've gotten a lot of videos, and people caught a lot of dolphin out there. Thank you. Somebody has helped me. It's pronounced Grofenvier. Grofenvier. There, where they were doing the test with the, hey, look, the drone dropped a grenade. Yeah, thank you. Michael said Mexican cartels have been dropping munitions from drones for a long time. It was like, I'm happy that they got a new plan, but who is there? Nobody there in PR that goes, hey, let's not have the video of us using a quadcopter to go drop a grenade and go, look at us. Well, thank you. And Captain Doug said it's called Grafenvier. Army just called it Graf. Let's see. We'll get to some other ones here. Yeah, it's just other countries are outpacing us. on the technology that is needed today. All right, coming back, April Marie Fogle joins us right here on Midday Mobile. We'll get news right now.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 12:35 FM Talk 106.5 at Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along on this Tuesday edition of the show. 343-0106, 343-0106. Gets you through on the text line or the phone line. And now, without further ado, favorite fill-in host here at FM Talk 106.5, journalist and writer over at 1819news.com, and a woman at war with chipmunks. The crowd goes wild for April Marie Fogle. Hey.
Hi there. I will be doing a lot of fill-in, speaking of which, starting next week.
You know what we call that when you're, because we're in a meeting this morning talking about what's coming up for people being off, this and that, and I saw how long Jeff's out. You're going to be, it's a residency.
Oh, nice.
So it's like, you know, okay. when the Eagles play at the Sphere out in Las Vegas, so they said they're in residence. It's a residency.
It's a residency. I like that. I like that. It sounds very formal.
Yeah. So you'll be in residency. So just let you know going forward. This will actually kind of segue into our discussion point here. I was telling you off the air, like I told everybody in the first half of the hour. At the same time, we'll talk about the NPR content chief stepping down and the federal funding. What's at risk here for NPR? NPR's budget's $300 million a year, they said. At the same time, Variety magazine reporting that Trey Parker and Matt Stone have inked a deal with Paramount at $300 million per year to be able to stream for global streaming rights to South Park, a deal worth $1.5 billion. So just look at those two things. I mean, maybe we put South Park on PBS.
Where were you when they all the panic was happening? You had the solution the whole time.
They did not call me. I'll go back and check my call log, but I did not see a call from the people at NPR to fix this. So
that's crazy. I am stunned by the South Park, and I guess
because you don't like it. I'm looking at somebody else on here that don't like South Park. You're not a South. I am a South Park. You know, there's quite often when I say things, I'm like I'm a 80%. I'm not fully in on anything. Except right. for South Park. Yeah, I'm fully
interesting.
In.
Interesting. So here's the thing is, I just don't like that kind of humor. Like that, like crude, like even movies or comedy, most anything that's a Ben Stiller or Jim Carrey or, like,
I don't like the Jim Carrey stuff. I don't like slapstick. But here's the thing. South Park is doing the crude stuff that does make me laugh because at 53, I still have a lot of 15-year-old, you know, in me. I'm still that guy. But at the same time, it is the best cutting political commentary out there. It's some of the best. They lampoon who needs lampooning. They don't have some kind of, you know, litmus test of who gets lampooned in this world where everybody has to be aligned completely on everything, that there's not critical thinking. It's like, I'm on this team, you're on that team. South Park, I mean, whoever needs poking at, they poke at them.
Yeah, I don't like that. It oddly, you know, and it goes back to, I look at I guess I also just don't have a stomach for most of anything on TV these days.
Nor
I liked Simpson early years. That was I think that was the only adult cartoon I got into. I didn't even like Family Guy.
I don't like any of those other ones. Well, King of the Hill. I like King and Mike Judge's stuff, and I like Beavis and Butthead back in the day for their cutting political.
Beavis and Butthead was awful.
Their cutting political commentary. But I like Mike Judge's stuff. I really do. And I reference the movie Idiocracy about twice a week. I've been doing that for decades. So I like his stuff. I like Trey Parker, Matt Stone's stuff. But I never watched any of the other animated things. I don't watch much television. It's like the running joke around here. I've seen very few shows, very few movies. But if Mike Judge or the, you know, South Park boys have something to do with it, I probably have seen it. So it's to each their own. It's a beautiful thing.
Well, and this kind of leads us into the other conversation we were going to have about TV. But I will say, this summer has just flown by, and life, I don't know how else to explain it, but life, we haven't done our typical, we usually do a week or two in Florida, and we didn't do that this summer. The best we got was a staycation about 45 minutes away, but one of the reasons the kids like vacation is they like having cable TV. And right. We had cable TV, and it was just a couple weeks ago. And I don't know how parents today do it. It wasn't even just the TV shows that are crude and inappropriate. The commercials now are bad. I have turned into the crankiest Karen I have ever heard myself, talk about in dealing with the TV content. It's just not what it used to be.
No, agreed. And I'm lucky I don't have children that are that young, and my eldest, who it's a family affair, I guess. She consumes South Park now, too, like her father, which is, but my youngest, he doesn't care about TV. But the problem is, it's YouTube content that I can't, you're talking about keeping up with something. Try to keep up with YouTube content. It's a whole nother world. I'd rather just be monitoring the channels on the streaming TV than I would all the things on YouTube. But that's a fight for another day. But, the reason I pointed that out about Parker and Stone is what the market wants. And I am not I've said this before. I would be dishonest if I said there was never anything on NPR that I liked. Because there were, Perry Home Companion, I was like one of the biggest fans. Love that radio show. Love old radio show ideas. But that was different from the news content, right? And it's like they've poisoned the whole thing, because they did some good things. PBS did some good things. Now I can ask, should we even be funding public broadcasting? Fair enough. But if we're going to pick at content, there are some things they did over time that were good, but it seems like there's so many other things they did that were bad.
Yeah, I don't know. I tell you, I just kind of tuned them out, so I can't even speak to how they ended up.
Well, you go through, and if they're going to do news programming, right, which I was talking about more of like their long-form radio shows, but if they're going to do news programming, that's fine. But and it doesn't have to just be crossfire where they bring, here's somebody from the right and here's somebody from the left. They didn't have to do that, but it was over the top. When I listen to that, the product, and go, listen, okay, they're going to be, I'm okay with hearing opinions that aren't mine.
Right.
But when...
Preaching
at you and making it like there's no other opinion. One of the things, I've said to Jeff before, is there was part of this attitude of public broadcasting that came from, I think, really being focused in large metros. You think about the way I thought about it when, as a kid here, I moved from South Florida, moved to Mobile in late 1970s. And it was different. And I remember... But the national PBS stuff was somewhat the same. It was all kind of focused. It was like a New York-centric, New Jersey-centric kind of vibe to the things, what they thought were important, the shows they thought the people needed to see. And I think that was just the people that programmed it were all these big city people that put this content out. And so it was kind of not lining up back then. But what's happening now is just not missing the mark. But it is, like you said, it's preaching and using taxpayer dollars at some portion of its to make people change their mind and know that they're wrong because they don't agree with the host of the show.
Yeah, so it's funny because I used to be able to listen and be like, okay, that's what the other side thinks. But they weren't. It was like, oh, this. I'm learning that this is how they think or what they do. It's almost like listening to a radio show or program that you disagree with. But then it got to where it was basically the people who think you're dumb or evil if mm-hmm. you think differently than them. And, how are we going to approach and change these people? What do we do to tolerate these people? How do we exclude these people from your life? And that's what I think, there was a line crossed at some point where it really did become, wow, it's not even that this isn't worth my time. It's that this genuinely makes me angry because it's so one-sided.
Well, and also it's one-sided with taxpayer dollars. I mean, that's the point.
A lot of taxpayer dollars.
Yeah, okay to have a different, it's okay to preach at me, but it's just, don't make me pay you to preach at me.
Right. I went to the Birmingham NPR station in just their homes, and just on a lark yesterday morning, went to, it's like WBHM, the NPR station. And if you just scroll, yeah, it's WBHM 90.3. If you scroll their home screen, you wouldn't know it's Alabama, right? Or in the fears they're trying to stoke. There's like five things about how this family in Homewood, Alabama, can't get the police footage of a cop involved shooting. And they're coming at it. Well, they're withholding this information. They're withholding this information. Well, the district attorney's already said he's going to give the family the information as soon as the Aaliyah investigation is handed to him, right? But you wouldn't know that going to this. And the bias is so strong that they don't even realize they're doing it.
Yeah, and that's interesting, too. I wonder, like, you look at it and say, because I have this contrarian bent. I've often said to folks, I'm never as conservative as I am when I'm around a bunch of liberal people, and I'm never as liberal when I'm just surrounded by conservatives. Because I don't join clubs and sing with the choir. I have a core beliefs that are conservative, but if I'm going to be a devil's advocate and argue, I'm going to argue contrary. So you could say, well, in the state of Alabama, that is overwhelmingly conservative, super majorities in the legislature for the Republicans, then somebody ought to push back on the fact that it's all coming from the right. And I would actually agree with that, except it's taxpayer funded. That's like the idea that there could be some voices that are different out there. That's fine, but it can't be taxpayer funded. That's my problem with it. Like, I don't have a problem with somebody saying what you believe is not right. Here's what you should believe. You just can't do it on my dime.
Give equal time. This isn't complicated.
That one's tough, though. That's the crossfire thing. And I grew up with that and studied that. And equal time, I try to do that around here, but I don't have a requirement to do it around here. How do they equal time? Do you have, like, if you have a, I just play this game. If you have somebody who's really good from the right arguing something, they're really good, but the person they get from the left, they give them equal time, but they suck at it. Did you really give them equal time to make the argument?
Well, but I say equal time in terms of, if you're telling a story, it doesn't have to be an argument. It can be, when I used to lobby, one of the things that I learned early on was that I didn't have to just know my position. I had to know the people who are lobbying against me's position. I had to know the position of those. So I was fighting for dollars. I had to know who was lobbying against me getting dollars. And then I had to know who's lobbying for the same dollars and be able to articulate, why they were wrong or why they were right, but my points are more valid. I feel like that's a lost art, something we don't talk about or do enough with. And in media, when you're talking straight journalism, not what we do, not commentary, but straight news journalism, which is what they're supposed to be doing over at NPR and PBS, that's what they've gotten away from. They've gotten away from, here, let me tell you the story of this situation or this school or this whatever, and you draw the conclusions. And that's what frustrates me. I don't know that you need, even on a TV, that you need the back and forth, the table back and forth, but you need to be able to balance. If you're going to have a guest on Monday who spends 20 minutes giving a perspective, offer a guest on Tuesday who gives a different perspective. They don't have to argue with each other or whatever, but give them both the same questions and go from there. That's what they stop doing.
Yeah, and you get it, I guess, the fallout. They're going to say it specifically about the money being gone, but Edith Chapin, who said resigning after the federal funding has been pulled from NPR. I don't know if she's saying she's leaving because there's not going to be money to pay her, or she's upset with that how dare they. I mean they didn't actually say that. They just say she's resigning.
So I read the story, the NPR story on her leaving. And basically she was like, I've had really stressful jobs, two back-to-back really stressful jobs, and it's just time to move on. And they say she resigned, gave her 2 weeks notice. She had already given her 2 weeks notice. So her quote is, quote, "I've had two big executive jobs for 2 years, and I want to take a break. I want to make sure my performance is always top notch. She expects to stay on until September or October. Those when you are in a dogfight and then you lose, you realize you're losing. It might be a time to just reevaluate. Okay, do I want to stay in this fight? Do I want to clean up the mess of this?
Yeah, I do wonder if whoever would come in after would see that and maybe turn it a different way. Also, a question too. We talk about getting the government out of broadcasting. If you look at the amount of money that's just straight tax dollars to NPR, it's not their whole budget. Could there be some other way for them to come in and in other words, not have any taxpayer dollars in there? Problem is, though, a lot of people, this doesn't come up in the conversation, but if you're somebody who has a communications degree from the University of Alabama, had to take the classes, they were given really choice places on the dial. The lower the number is on the dial, the less electricity it takes to produce a signal at a certain wattage and the further it carries. They got the cherry ones. So do they have to, divest themselves of, I don't know how that works, but we'll see what happens. I mean, if you completely defund them, do they just shut down and put them on the auction block or those frequencies?
Well, and I think this is an interesting time to say, what happens, and this is something I've heard, is like, what happens if the government funding stops, but then you get like a Bezos, a Gates, a Clinton Foundation, mm-hmm. and they come in and they fund these. They're all nonprofits. They're all set up as C3s. So there's nothing to stop them from coming in and making them worse than they already are, which seems hard to imagine at this point. But it is a possibility.
Well, listen, if they did that and they didn't have taxpayer dollars, they could do what they wanted. But the problem is they have the frequencies they have were given to them. You notice there's not going to be any NPR stations. For TV is one thing, but I'm radio guy. There's none of them that are going to be above 94.1, I would imagine. They were given some very choice frequencies. So do they have to surrender those and go find somewhere else in the free market? If they wanted to do that and surrender that signal and then go buy another one and then fund it themselves and say whatever they wanted within, the requirements of the FCC.
Yeah, that's fair. And that's a good question is, they have had these deals and, what happens to that? No, that's fair. That's a very interesting question. I hadn't considered that.
Or Trey Parker and Matt Stone could come in and buy them all and make them, just South Park affiliates. Hey, before we wrap up too, you mentioned we're talking during the news there. You mentioned the Cosby Show I got the note yesterday, I guess, Malcolm Jamal Warner, drowning down in Costa Rica, got pretty close to my age. He was a guy that like did his thing, made his brand. And I don't think he was trying to stay in the spotlight. I think he was just living his life out there, which is kind of cool.
I actually heard something today about, the fact that he purposefully tried to, stay off the radar, even when doing various nonprofit work. And so I didn't know he was involved in charities like a bunch of Christian stuff, but also he did some kind of voice spoken word contribution memorializing the victims of Sandy Hook. Was a singer. He had a really interesting background.
It did, and he wasn't, but it wasn't like he was trying to get in whatever movie, where you go, oh my gosh, are they, why do we need to see them? I mean, I kind of did it the right way. I don't know the details of how he drowned, but he was in Costa Rica and drowned, and he kind of brought you up. You sent me a text like, why can't we have shows like the Cosby Show anymore? I don't know. Do you think the market would reward that? Are we so different now as a country?
Well, I tell you what, and I have tried various channels or programs or networks for the kids. I tried most recently Angel Network, but there's another one. I've tried different things. I think there is a market for it. And as we return to a nation of sanity, hopefully the need for a new market for it disappears and other areas like, your Disney's that are gone woke, they start taking some of it out. I've said a lot how disappointing it is you know, to see kids programming and teen programming have all of this, have a lot of political, ideological stuff in there. You know, my kids watched this movie, the Zombies movie, three movies in, and they are introducing non-binary lesbian characters. And you're going, what? Like, what just happened? And then the latest Pixar movie, apparently that whole entire movie was written and done with the main character, who's like 8 or 9, being queer. I put that in air quotes because I don't even know what that means, but it was a little boy who wanted to wear girls' stuff and pink stuff, and they then, after testing it, had to write that out.
April Marie, who's going to have her residence coming up in the next couple weeks here at FM Talk 106.5, how they find you in the meantime?
1819 News and on X at April Marie.
Thank you, April Marie.
All right, bye, darling.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
At 12:57, FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. I guess a second here and we'll come back. And William Strickland from Baykeeper joins us. Yeah, B-Dark saying, does that mean if you have to take the whole drone manufacturing out to break even? Oh, the drone discussion? And B-Dark also said, tell April Marie if you think getting rid of chipmunks is hard, try and getting rid of squatters. Yes, I guess so. Can't do the same trapping you can. CB Carl saying, fishermen using the trick for surf fishing with drones. Yeah, and that guy over in Florida carrying the flotation out to the device out to the little girl who was in trouble in the surf. Yep. Just say, if CB Carl, if you've just seen the video from the Army, God bless the Army, you know, and support. But, I mean, somebody in PR there, like, just missed it. Also, this texture says, gotta love The Simpsons. And this one, let's see, a new texture. My favorite episode, I guess, oh yeah, this is South Park. My favorite episode is the one making fun of the Book of Mormon, or Tom Cruise and Scientology in the Closet. Those are classics. Chris says, All in the Family, Barney Miller, were funny TV shows. Yeah, we talked about those this weekend with somebody. And then John says, I'm a YouTuber. I don't have time for movies. I'm also a music and talk radio man. It is head spinning with the number of choices you have. You got that right. Be right back.